Luke 15. That's a word from the Lord. Start in verse 11 this morning, talking about the lost son. Many of us know the story of the prodigal son, but how many of us know that we can point out the two sons that are lost? But this morning we're going to talk about the father that is perfect. Now, there are no perfect fathers on the earth, none. Amen. But we're going to talk about there's one that is, and he's going to help us this morning. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine, did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and bring and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants, and he asked what these meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, thou, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. I was meet with them should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this life that you've saved us, you've filled us, you've touched us. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity today to minister your word. God, meet us in the altars. I know that you have great plans. Let not pride stand in the way today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God dealt with me last Sunday night. I pulled up to my house after that service, and I just heard the Holy Ghost say, I want you to begin to celebrate life in my house. And so I just simply titled this. I believe today will be a beginning of a series for some time now. I just called it simply, just celebrate life. Amen. Just celebrate life. And I come to just be real with y'all this morning. First, I want to be real with us as fathers. I just want to get real for a minute with us as dads. Amen. I know not everybody's a dad in here, but I believe God's going to deal with every man and every woman. And whenever I talk about sons in a minute, I'm talking about sons and daughters the same. Amen. When I'm talking to dads, I'm talking to moms too. Dads and moms typically have a tendency that we deal with parental issues or things that go on in the house, usually in a different manner. But I believe spiritually, physically, emotionally, that we probably all deal with the same devil. Amen. The devil says the same thing to our mind. He's the accuser of the brethren. Amen. I want to give you three things this morning, and I'm just going to do my best. I'm not really a note reader. I just pray for the anointing of John Parrish this morning. Amen. I need the anointing of John Parrish this morning because I just sat before God yesterday, and as he gave me things, I just wrote them down. Amen. So I'm just going to do my best to give you what I believe that God gave me. Way different for me, but I believe they're very, very important. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you about three things this morning. The first is failure. The second is forgiveness, and the third is freedom. Failure, forgiveness, and freedom. Amen. So I want to talk to us all. I know this is Father's Day. I'm going to talk to us dads, but I believe at the same time we're talking to dads, I believe moms are going to be dealt with. Amen. And we're going to talk to the sons in just a minute too. Amen. And when I talk to sons, I'm talking to daughters too. Amen. Because we all have a part to play in this. The first thing that I do notice and recognize, now I'm just using my life. I believe I'm just taking what God said to me. Now, you can disregard anything that I'm going to say today, and I'm okay with that. Amen. I just believe that as humans, we're very frail. Amen. We're very frail in our flesh. And I believe that because the enemy knows our potential. He knows the anointing that is on our lives. He knows what he's entrusted to us in that home. He knows what our children are going to be. Amen. I was in Texas the other day and I knelt there and I just turned around in my seat and I began to pray and seek God and immediately I just saw, and Brennan's here, you know, and I just, you know, they may not believe this, but I know what God showed me. I showed Dalen and Brennan with a suit and a tie on, and I believe God is going to bring that to fruition. Amen. And this morning I was just praying and about today's message. And yesterday me and Lakin went to get donuts. When we were laying in bed last night, he said, "Dad, I was going to look for me a suit to wear tomorrow." And I just believe, you know, God didn't show me Lakin, but I believe Lakin speaking those words was God reminded me I'm a promise keeper. I'm a promise keeper, and Carrie, I believe that we're going to see that come to pass. Amen. I believe that suit and tie was a type of ministry. Amen. I prophesy and I believe in my own family, my three boys will be in ministry. Amen. It may not look like that right now. It may not feel like that right now. I remember there was a day that woman came here, brother, and told you that your job, you'd wear a suit and a tie. You didn't even own one in that time. Amen. I just know and I just trust God. Amen. But I do know this, as dads, amen, as parents, I do know that one of the biggest things that the enemy comes at us with is failure. He comes and hits us with failure. Amen. And that's what he does. Amen. And so fathers, the first thing that we respond and we live in a lot of times is guilt. We just live guilty. Because a lot of times as a parent, you do fail a lot. And if there's any other place in our life that we see failure, it is as a parent. Because it's before you every day. In your marriage, you probably see failure because not everything's always going to be right. Brother Michael, when I saw you today, I just almost feel like there's torment of the enemy saying you failed. But I'm telling you, brother, God's going to free us all today in this house. You're not a failure, brother. You have not failed your children. I promise you, Brother Michael, you have not failed your children. But I thought a lot about this dad. I thought a lot about this story, and I thought, man, here is a father that is in this house. Amen. Tell you what I wrote down. This dad had to ponder. This dad had to wonder many nights what he did wrong. Anybody ever wondered what you did wrong? What did I do wrong that my children don't even like me? What did I do wrong? My children don't even want to be around me. What did I do wrong? I've said to my boys, amen, whenever I left Dunklin, Dalen and Brennan made me a dad. I never knew I'd be a dad. I tell you, that devil told me I'd never have children because I had three abortions. I believe that lie. I'll never forget Brother Jonathan at Carmel said, "Jared, why would God save you and pull you out never to allow you to reproduce what God's done in your life?" He said, "God's going to bless you with children." He spoke that into my life before Lakin ever came along. But Dalen and Brennan made me a daddy. Amen. And I never thought that I would be a father. I'm just telling you. And so Dalen and and Brennan made me that. Amen. Whenever I met Carrie, she had Dalen and Brennan. They were 5 and 6. I'll never forget it. First time I pulled up to her house, they come out with their underwear on, and they had them little toy guns. They run outside, and they jumped up on the porch, and they pulled their guns out, and they started shooting me. Next thing I know, we're in the house, and I'm acting like a bucking bull. They're riding me all in the house. They made me a daddy in that moment. But I can tell you now that he's graduated. I can tell you Dalen's 19 years old. Amen. 5 and 6 year old little boys in underwear. We've been through a lot of things since then. I can tell you that devil will say, look back. Look at them. Look back. Look at the time you've missed out on. That devil will say, you failed as a dad. I'm telling you, that devil will say, as a mom, you failed. Look back on that life. Look at the life you've missed out on. And they may not be. They may not be right. You know what? Where do you want God to say that he's going to do in their life? I know that God showed me them boys right there with a suit and a towel. I don't know how that's going to happen. Brennan's going to go play basketball unless God intervenes. I don't see what's going to happen. I don't see him wearing a suit and a towel on the basketball court. But it's not up for me to determine. Amen. But here's what I do know is that devil loves to get you and I as parents to operate in guilt. Amen. He loves to get us to operate in guilt, because if he can get you feeling guilty, then you'll step out of the authority that God's placed upon your life. Amen. You see, there's anointing in the authority as being the head of that house. But if I can get guilty, then I'll lower down here my standard and I'll become their friend instead of their father, because that's what the devil loves to do. If he can get us to shift our anointing and our authority from being who we're called to be, and if we can operate as a friend, then we'll lose our authority as a father. Amen. That's one of the agendas of the enemy. And so I do know this, that I wonder what that dad must have went through. Number one, he had a son that said to him, Dad, give me everything, and because I'm leaving. I wonder what that dad thought. Don't you know his heart was torn in pieces? I can tell you, at 18, 19 years old, you want them children to be right there with you. You want them there. That'll never change. But I know if the process of life is going to take place, and if they're going to grow up to be fathers one day, you have to let them go. But the enemy would love to sit there and say, when you watch Brendan walk on that stage and he graduated, that devil, instead of rejoicing with him, would say, look at all the time you failed. Am I just talking to myself this morning? Or I believe I have the word for this morning. Amen. To free somebody. Amen. And if it's only me, then I need to be freed. Amen. This father must have thought time and time and time. This dad had to ponder and wonder many nights what he did wrong to cause this younger son to want to take his portion and leave. What did I do? Did I not do for him what I did for the other? Was you not the same to him as you were the other? Don't you imagine that this dad must have thought many times? Don't you know that the devil probably wrecked him whenever he said, give me my portion? Don't you wonder that the dad probably ever said, maybe I shouldn't have gave him all that? Don't you wonder how the devil must have got on his back and in his mind and said, why did you give him all that money? He's going to die with it. Why did you do that? Because he asked for it. He asked for it. And so the father gave it to him. He just gave it to him. Dad, sometimes it's not you. It's something God wants to work out of your son. Remember, I'm saying daughters too. And in the process of working it out of him or her, it's working something into us. Because the Holy Ghost can work out and in. He can work out and in. I felt Wednesday night that the service here was transformational, transitional, and transactional. That means that God not only worked out, but God put something in. Amen. And so listen, Dad, sometimes it's not you. It's something God wants to work out of him, and in the process, work something into me and into him. Amen. Listen to this. And in the process of this, it should draw us closer to the Lord and not push us away from the Lord. Amen. So we have to ask ourselves, what has taken place in our life? Is it drawing me to God or is it pushing me away from God? Amen. Dad, you can't be codependent on your son to buy him back. My God. You can't be codependent on your son to try to buy him back. You done gave him the money. Now let him go. Are you with me? I'm not getting too many amens. You can't be codependent on your son to buy him back or force him to stay home. The most dangerous place that a son can be is in the home of the father with no respect for his position, his purpose, his provision, or his presence. Are you with me? I'm going to slow down right here just a minute. Y'all stay with me. All right? Dad, mom, you can't be codependent on your son to buy him back or force him to stay home. The most dangerous place that a son can be is in the home of the father with no respect for his position, for his purpose, his provision, and his presence. What is his position? It's one of authority. He's the head, not the tail. But when somebody don't have respect, they will not respect that. Now listen, dads, you didn't ask for this position. No matter how bad you are, it's God ordained. Now I'm not talking to dads that aren't here this morning. Some of you moms have to be that. I'm sorry, mothers, that you have to be this. But it's what you have to be. But we're not leaving this way. Elijah, there's spiritual dads in here. I saw you sad this morning, buddy, and God don't want you sad. Because there's spiritual fathers going to be raised up in the service this morning. The position is one of authority. As dads, we're the head. Men, let's act like it. Quit acting like a woman. Quit acting like a brat. Quit acting spoiled. We're the head. Wives, let them be that. Let them go. Submit to the decision. You may not like it, but God didn't ask you ladies if you liked it. Let them make it, because if you don't, now it's perverted. It's perverted. Now, I'm not talking to you ladies that have to walk in that authority. But when the man is in the house, let him be that. God will deal with him. God will deal with me. Even if we're wrong, God's going to deal with that. But the moment the woman tries to do that, now the woman is flip-flop, now it's perversion. Now you've taken the authority, and it's wrong. But we want God to save. But it can't, because you're in the way. Get out of the way, ladies. Maybe God will save your husband and the son. Can I tell you, you can block your blessing. It's perverted. Let God do it. Let God deal with it. Let God do it. Tyler and Chris, get with them. They'll share their testimony. Chris came out of a drug program. Tyler said, well, I've took care of these girls for 5 years. But now that Chris is out, Tyler still wanted to hold the reins. How did that work for you? Made him feel like a little girl. You take his authority away. That's what happens. You take his authority away to reproduce life in these girls. Ladies, that's what you do in the home. You take authority away because you want it. Because we want control. It's perverted. And it takes authority away from the house of God's order. And then him as the head can't give them what they need. And so we take away the ability to reproduce. You know what I'm saying? So we don't want. Why do you think we're living in a world that we are that's so feminine? Are y'all sure you want me to preach this morning? I said, why in the world do you think we live in a world that's so feminine? Because men, whenever the women step in, we just step back. Why do you think we got gangs doing what they're doing? Why do you think we got people on the streets everywhere? Because there's a fatherless generation, and it's time that the Church of Jesus Christ would rise up. Can I tell you, you don't have to be a natural daddy to be a spiritual father. It's time that the Church of God would rise up one more time. It's time that men would rise up and be men of God and quit acting like little sissies and quit letting our wives try to lead our children to the places and to the altar of God. It's the truth. Why do people don't know if they're what they are? Come on. Because we let women run everything. Back off. Don't get mad at me, ladies. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you what God said. We have a feminist generation. These children, we seen it the other day right here in town. Y'all forgive me, but I'm telling you, if you're homosexual in here and you don't repent, you go into hell. I'm not. I love homosexuals. I do. Amen. I tell you, there ain't nobody been as entrenched in sexual sin as me. Amen. I promise you, I'm not mad. But I can tell you, we saw three children the other day with two women. Don't you know they were torn? They don't know what to do. I got a 9-year-old little boy sitting at the table with me. And what does he do? He leans over there to Carrie. I said, Mom, he knew exactly what it was. Now we just allow that to go on. Now we have feminists going, I don't know what I am. It's all the same. No, it's not. We're out of order. Men, we need to get in line. We need to start being men of God. Amen. Not just here. I mean everywhere. We need to be men of God. Amen. Listen, we have to teach our children. And listen to me. And if they can't respect the position, then they need to go. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. Stay with me. Because God knows how to not let them go. Amen. We have to trust God. Amen. The second thing, they don't understand or respect the Father's purpose. What is a father's purpose? To train and to teach. There's a purpose in that daddy being in them children's life. Amen. I promise you, there's a purpose to the man. We have purpose. Amen. I said, we have purpose.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You might not like it. You might not think that. But men, we have a purpose. Walk in the purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. There's a plan and a purpose for our lives. The third thing, if they can't respect the provision that you give them or have given them, then guess what? They got to go. Am I helping anybody? But what does the enemy do with all these? You failure. You failure. Make you feel guilty. Make you feel bad. Make us feel guilty, don't he? And then the fourth thing, if he has no respect for the Father's presence, they're never going to learn. They'll always take the daddy for granted. They'll always take his presence for granted. And then I got, if we let it remain, then it turns to perversion. Listen to this. They will always expect it. And will always want more of it with no appreciation for what they have or what's been done with them to this point. I could be totally speaking wrong, but I know this is where the enemy comes. And I'm just using this story. As hard as it is, Dad, we must learn to let go of the reins of control. I know this is hard, but it's necessary. If our Heavenly Father wouldn't have let us go and learn, where would we be today? Where would we be today? If God didn't say, Jared, you want this life? If at 16 years old when I went down on that football field and said a prayer, and from 16 to 25 acting like a spoiled little brat, if God would have just kept made me do something, I'd have been bitter. But thank God, September 19th of 03, whenever he came in that jail cell, I said, God, here I am. Amen. You know what? He didn't have to get one thing out of the way then, just Jared. See, I was broke. I was done. Nobody wanted anything to do with me. I was done. You see, the Father knows how to get stuff out of us, don't he? He knows how to get stuff out of us. He didn't keep begging me to stay with him from 16 to 25. He didn't say, now, Jared, come on now. He said, no, you want what you want, big boy? He said, I talked to you down on that football field, and I told you right then I had a purpose for your life. He spoke to the man that led me to the Lord, Clay Hatcher. He told Clay Hatcher, he said, me and Jared will be in ministry together. I was 16 years old, and he was 16 with me. We ended up doing ministry together whenever he ran Teen Challenge. He came here. God fulfilled the promise. He gave him a promise. Amen. He told me he had a purpose for my life. But can I tell you, Clay walked with God from 16 to 25. Jared didn't. But God didn't make me stay there either. He said, Jared, you think you know better about your life? Here you go. Amen. Go on with it. Now, I love that song they said a while ago. He'll never let us go. Can I tell you, God's not going to let you go. But I tell you what, he will make your life so miserable. I said, God will make your life so miserable. Every time you turn around, was that the voice of God? Was that the presence of God I just felt in that dark? Did I hear God just say, I still love you? Stop talking to me, God. I'm trying to drown out his voice. I'm trying to get away from his presence. He said, I'll go with you to the very end. He said, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. Can I tell you, God's not going to turn his back on you. Can I tell you, David said, I even made my very bed in hell. He said, but you were there. Can I tell you, God's going to follow you all the way. Amen. Where would we be if our Heavenly Father didn't just let us go? We'd have thought we'd done it. We'd have thought, I got myself here. God knows how to break us, so we know it's only God that got us here. Amen. I had nothing to do with this. Amen. It was over with. Amen. Verse 25 through 30. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Listen to this, dads. You can't keep them from leaving and you can't make them come in to the father's house. You see, the Bible says here that even the father went out and entreated him. Can I tell you, if you look up what that word entreat means, it means literally to beg or to call him. Could you just imagine, come on in, come on in. Could you imagine that boy said, I'm not going in there. Some of you are dealing with that very thing. I ain't going to church. What's it producing you? Look back over that whole life where you failed. What's the devil say? You failure. Look at the mistakes you made here. Look at where you failed there. You'll never get those days back. Can I tell you, you can't make them stay, and you can't make them come. Only the Father, when the Spirit of God sends him, the Bible says no man can come unless the Father draws him. Can I tell you, he went out to him and begged him to come, but he said, I'm not going in there. Some of you's dealing with that very thing this morning. I'm not going to the house of God. I'm not going. And the devil jumps on your mind. The devil jumps on board, and he just begins to hammer away. Amen. You can't keep them from leaving, and you can't make them come in to the Father's house. Only God can keep them from leaving, and only the Father can draw them in. Amen. You see, the Father went to him, entreated him, and begged him, but he refused to come in. I heard the Holy Ghost say this to me so strong. Can I tell you, at the same time the elder son told him, I'm not coming in, the younger son was inside with a robe already ready and rejoicing. I heard God say to me, don't let the rejection of the one keep you from rejoicing with the other. I could preach a whole message right there. Don't let the rejection of one season keep you from rejoicing with the next. Can I tell you, that's what the enemy has come to do. You may get all your focus over here. Well, he won't come. Well, he won't come. Well, he won't come. And the whole time God said, there's a party right there. There's music playing. There's dancing going. There's rejoicing happening. But you can't get your eyes off what you feel over here. You've been rejected here. Can I tell you, there's rejoicing here. Can I tell you, the devil wants you to see the negative all the time. The devil wants you to stay stuck in rejection. But God said, now is the season to celebrate life. And if we'll begin to celebrate life, it'll deal with the rejection over here. God said, we're coming out of some season. He said, stand up, put your hand together, and rejoice and celebrate life. The same time, I mean, that father literally walked out from putting a robe on one to rejection of the other. How many times did we do that? Chris, stand up. See that robe he just put on? Amen. Johnny, you're going to be the mother. You're rejected. I'm begging you to come. You're like, no. You know what we do a lot of times? There's a party going on over here. Fat a calf, they're fixing to eat it. You know, so many times we miss out on all that because we can't let go of this. Amen. We just stay stuck right here. You know why? Because the devil's got on board here. He makes you feel guilty. He makes you say, well, look at all the wrong you've done to this one. See, you could be over there, but no, he's had it made his whole life. And so we just stay stuck right here. Everybody over there in the house rejoicing over there, but you're stuck right here. You're miserable as can be, and the devil's a liar, and you're just so guilty. What if I'd have just done this different with him? If I'd have just done that different with him? If I'd have just done, and it's all a tactic of the devil. I can tell you, God said, get over there. Go back to the Father's house. Amen. You see, he's outside the Father's house right here. You see, a lot of times he's trying to get control back in his own hands. Amen. It's time that some of us get back to the Father's house. Amen. Some of you's outside the will of God. You're feeling guilty and you feel like you can fix this boy, but it's not up to you to fix him. If he's going to get in the house, the Father's going to have to do it. Sometimes you just got to let him go, and you got to get over here, and you got to begin to dance, and you got to begin to celebrate life, and you got to begin to rejoice that the one that was lost is home. And he's now found. I choose to rejoice. But here's what the devil does. Well, they're rejoicing here. You should feel bad because look at him. So there's guilt here, but now there's guilt even in the Father's house. Well, I shouldn't feel this way over here. Everybody else is married here. Everybody else is dancing over here. But what about him? Boy, I should feel different, shouldn't I? No, God's just healing you. You know what God's really saying? Now that you're in the Father's house, now whatsoever's bound on earth, it's going to be bound in heaven. But now that I'm in the presence of the Father, now that I've got the new robe, now that whatever I let go of on earth, then God's going to let go of in heaven. Now I can be free. And now maybe if I'll just rejoice here, God will reconcile here. Can I tell you, there's still hope for the one outside of the house. It's not over until God said it's over. God said, don't let the rejection season cause you from rejoicing. We feel guilty both places. Yes. What a miserable life. Yes. Yes. Anybody ever been there? Am I just talking to me? What a miserable life. Just to feel guilty everywhere you turn. What about him? Everybody's in the house over here but him. What about him? Well, that temptation is always to go get him. And just go feel bad again. Well, I can't bring him or with me, but he's still here. And I just feel guilty. Sometimes you got to fully let go.
Amen. You want God to save them?
Go. That's right.
God, I can't do nothing.
That's right.
I can't do nothing. So, God, if you're going to do anything, you got to do it.
Yeah. Lord, all I can do is feel bad. All I can do, some of us just need to be honest. That's you too. You ain't enjoyed the Father's house in ages. You ain't danced in ages, and you say it's your personality. No, it's not. It's the devil causing you to feel guilty to be happy in the Lord. Wonder why you ain't got no strength? Because you ain't got no joy. Wonder why you're tired all the time? Because you ain't got no joy in your life. Amen. Wonder why you hurt all over? Because you hurt all the way down to your bones. You got bitterness all in your bones. A merry heart is better than medicine. Laughter. When's the last time you just got drunk in the Holy Ghost and laughed a little while? I'm not talking about nothing demonic. I'm just talking about joyous. Amen. See, the devil wants you to stay in the season of rejection. And there's a season of rejoicing right here.
They're so close.
They're so far away in your heart and my heart. They're so close. The Bible said he just walked out the door. Literally, I bet it's about like this. I'm going to walk out. Hey, this son already knows what's going on over there. He knows. He hears it. He heard it from the field. It was so loud. He knows. Thank y'all. The devil is a liar. Some of you's feeling it right now, what I just said. You're just full of guilt. Fathers, mothers, we operate in guilt. And that's what the devil says. Every place you failed, you're guilty.
I wonder if anybody today is just bold enough to throw your hands up and say, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Devil, everything that you pointed out to me, every place that I have failed my family and my children, guess what, devil? You're right. I am guilty.
Yes.
You see it on my back? I'm guilty.
Yeah.
You see it on my forehead? I'm guilty. Everything that them children will tell you where you went wrong, you're exactly right. I am guilty.
But you know what? I see the blood falling today in this house. You know what? That where it said guilty, I now see the blood. You said guilty, I now see the blood. You see guilty, I now see the blood. I've lived in guilt long enough. I now see the blood. I choose to rejoice because the blood washes my guilty away. Come on, somebody put your hand together and praise God today in this house. My God. Somebody's been feeling guilty. You just need to rejoice right now. Somebody needs to stand up and punch the devil right in the mouth and say, I'm tired of your guilt.
God,
I need it too. There's more. Y'all just going to choose your guilt. Choose your guilt. Shame on you. Shame. Because you know what it is, right? It's your pride. And you know what you're telling Jesus? What you did ain't good enough for me. Your blood isn't enough to cause me to rejoice with this son that's found. Because I choose to stay rejected. Because this is what I deserve. Now I'm the one that done this. And we just stay right here. And we just loathe over this. We just loathe over this. Everywhere we go, guess what we got? This rejection. Oh, yeah. Look at me. Just look at me. I preach with this rejection. I sing with this rejection. Oh, I'm trying to get breakthrough. I believe breakthrough for everybody. Oh, but I still feel guilty. I'm rejected every which way I turn. Amen. I just carry it around with me always. I'm glad you got saved. Only one I can look out of eye. Amen. Sorry about that. Don't we do that?
Yeah.
See them at Walmart. How'd they look? Look guilty.
Yeah.
Tried to talk to them at the store the other day. What were they doing? They were hiding. Why were they? They look guilty to me. They have anybody with them? Had rejection with them. Had rejection with them. Oh, yeah. Nobody physically, but spiritually, boy, they look wore out. Had old rejection with them. That same place. That same old heaviness. That same old burden. Remember the other day, though, that anointing said he would break the yoke, but man, everybody else got free, but man, they just felt like they needed to just stay here a little while longer. I see everybody else get free. I kind of like feeling like this. Because if I keep toting rejection around, maybe everybody will come rescue me. God's already sent everybody to you. Now you're mad because people quit coming to you. People got tired of your rejection and you rejecting them. Guilty. Well, I seen the blood everywhere. Not on them. They said they got it right now. Jesus. Don't let the rejection from one season keep you from rejoicing with the other. Sons, y'all ready? Daughters? Parents operate in guilt. You know what you operate in? Shame. And you know what shame causes you to do? Hide. Brother Michael, you know why they ain't here by you today? It's full of shame, brother. Full of shame. It's not you. Shame. Oh, God walks in the perfect garden. Adam, where are you? Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Listen to me. If Adam and Eve can fall in the perfect of the day, do you think that our sons and daughters aren't going to mess up when we're frail and mess up? It was perfect. And they sinned. So moms and dads, who are we to think that our children aren't going to mess up? And who are we to think that if Adam and Eve hid from a perfect God, when our children don't come around, it's not you. It's shame telling them don't come around. They're just hiding. They're just hiding. I know it's the truth. God said it's the truth. It's the word of God. They're just hiding. But they're only hiding for a season. It's only for a season. Because God's going to call them out, brother. God's going to call them out. God knew right where they were. Amen. God knew right where they were. Where are you, Adam? Why do you think God asked them? Because he knew where they were. He just wanted them to know. He knew where they were. He wanted to make them answer. Somebody say, come on, somebody. He just wanted them to answer that I know where you are. Sons and daughters, it's a lot of shame in this house this morning. And do you know what shame produces? Anybody know? It does produce fear. But the root of every other sin, including fear, starts with a P. R-I-D-E. Sons and daughters operate in pride. Give me my portion. I got this life. I'm going to go live it. Jesus. Come on, somebody, huh? You may not literally be doing that in your flesh, but your little heart is. And we just throw one of these in. Just because we can. And you know what we say? Take that, mom and dad. We won't say what else you probably do. We're in church. Y'all know I ain't lying. Sons and daughters, y'all know I'm not lying today. Come on now. Here's the thing. When you leave the Father's house, you can't stay close to it. You run as far as you can. And I believe as you're running, I'm going to use you again. You're going to be the boy. You're running. I believe God's hand is here. He's got you, but you know what he's doing now? He's pushing you. Because God opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. He said, is that what you want, boy? All right, I got a field for you. There's a citizen in a far country. That's what you want? You see, but I love God. He's just helping you get the end of you a little bit quicker. I'm trying to hurry, y'all. My God. I said he's just helping you get to the end of you a little bit quicker. And so he just pushes you. He said, oh, you want a taste of this life? Go ahead. So on the way to the pig pen, he never saw the pig pen coming, neither did you. All I saw were the harlots and the hookers in the bars. Amen. Let me just get some of these on the way. Amen. Now check me out. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on now. That's all I saw, my beer drinking buddies along the way. Amen. A harlot or two on the way. I never saw that citizen in the far country. Amen. See, they're pulling me now. I ain't even pulling them. They like it. But can I tell you, the whole time I'm getting tired. I'm getting to the end of myself. Can I tell you, come on, you're going to be God now. You got the back of me. God's always right there. God's probably whispering, see there? See, you got what you wanted. You got what you wanted, big boy. You took your portion and you left, didn't you? Look at your pride. Thank y'all. Look at your pride. And God's there. Next thing you know, I end up in a pig pen. Now who's talking to me? The citizen of a far country. He's a type of the devil. He said, I got a field. He said, I got some pigs. Can I tell you, you better know the citizen of the far country. If you hadn't been to the pig pen, amen, everybody's pig pen's a little bit differently. But let me tell you, there's somebody there waiting on you. Amen. I can tell you, you don't want my pig pen, and I probably don't want yours. Amen. But let me tell you, there's a citizen there of the far country. Mom and daddy, you're not going to lose sight of them babies. I know you're not. But let me tell you, they're not going to stay close to the Father's house. They got to get a little bit farther away so that when they get there, they'll be able to see the Father's house clearly. They'll be able to see it a little bit differently. Their perception of the Father's house is about to shift. You see, the pig pen has a way to begin to deal with a man's heart. It'll break the pride. I can't even eat here. I can't even live here. There's nothing for me here. And now my perspective of my daddy in the house is different. Woo! It changes. Maybe I didn't have it so bad there. Maybe it wasn't so bad there. As a matter of fact, here I am. I ain't got nothing to eat. Maybe I can't even eat the husk that the pig are eating. But the hire servants at my daddy's house, they got a little bread. Oh, you couldn't stand the hire servants at daddy's house last time. But now they're your favorite. As a matter of fact, I'll go back and I'll ask, can I just be one of them? I said, the pig pen has a way that shifts your perspective of the Father and his house. Jesus. Pride comes before what? The fall. Listen to this, sons and daughters. Because some of you believed a lie Mom and dad kicked me out. It's love that lets you go. It's love that makes you leave, not a lack of it. Listen to this. And love never lets go. Somebody, some children need to get a hold of this. If you only knew what that father went through every moment, every minute, every second, you would have never, ever dishonored his house. If you only knew what that mom and daddy was doing pacing the floor. I wonder if they're alive. Ain't heard from them in the last hour. I wonder if they're alive. I wonder if they're okay. Ain't heard from them in a week. I wonder where they are. Ain't heard from them in a month. And the whole time the devil's telling you they don't love you. And the whole time the devil's telling them, look at you. I can't believe you made them leave. Can I tell you, it's love that lets you go. And it's love, amen, that makes you go. Can I tell you, the devil is a liar. Listen to this. You will get to a place in your life in the pig pen that you'll wake up and you'll realize, I never should have dishonored the father in his house again. I should not have dishonored the protection of the father's house, the power of the Father's house, and the purity of the Father's house. Somebody needs to get a hold of that. Only the pig pen can cause you to be awakened to what you've walked away from. I'm telling you, there's protection in the Father's house, there's power in the Father's house, and there's purity in the Father's house. Why is that there? Because God has anointed your mom and daddy to be who God has called them to be. No, they're not perfect. They're not what God... They're not what you have labeled them they should be. They've made some mistakes. They have fallen short, but it's pure because God gave them to you. Woo! My God. I hope somebody's getting help. My God. Listen to this. Pride distorts your view and perception of your father and his house. How many of you sons and daughters can say, I've seen my parents wrong because pride? Come on. Ain't nobody. Ain't no honest people in here today. Pride always will distort the view. It'll always. I know better. You think that young boy really knew what he had when he said, Daddy, give me this, I'm leaving? No. He saw all wrong. He couldn't see right. Mom and Daddy, some of our children right now just don't see us right. Daddy, you're not a failure. Mama, you're not a failure. Carrie, you're not a failure. I'm telling us, we're not failures. Our children may not just see us right now because pride distorts your perception of who we really are, even who the Father is. Can I tell you, a lot of us view our Heavenly Father the way that we perceived our earthly father, and that I'm telling you that pride distorts our view of even who our Heavenly Father is. Can I tell you, our Heavenly Father is not looking over the banisters of heaven with a belt in his hand ready to wear you out. No, his arms are wide open, and he said, I'm just calling you to come home. Jesus, but the pig pen. Whew. How many of y'all love the pig pen? We don't really like it when it's our children there or when I'm there. But oh, that pig pen is anointed. Our Father's got some anointed pig pens, don't he, Brother Michael? There had to be an anointing in that pig pen. You know what? There had to be some oil flowing there. You may see what you see. You may smell what you smell. Oh, but I see the oil. I see some oil today. I see some blood today. I see some love today. I see some grace today, because it had to be there in that pig pen, or that little boy would have never been awakened to his senses and begin to shift his perspective about what he walked away from. Sons, daughters, pride will not only tell you to leave, but it'll also tell you not to come home. The younger son, pride will say, go, get out of that house. But the elder son, his pride wouldn't let him come in. Can I tell you, both operate in shame. One's running, trying to hide, and one won't come in because he's hiding. Pride will not only tell you to leave, but it'll also tell you not to come home. You choose this day whom you will serve. We see two sons like we have two choices: to return home or reject home. Jesus. Failure isn't final. Failure don't define me. Instead, it refines me. And the Father assigns me. I said, failure won't define me, but it refines me. I will get up. When I get back to my Father's house, he's got an assignment for my life. Can I tell you, he's got an assignment today. The second thing I need to give you very quickly, oh God, is forgiveness. Can I tell you, forgiveness is the key. Forgiveness is the key to life. Can I tell you this morning, forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. And when you forgive by faith. Well, I don't feel like forgiving. God didn't ask you if you felt like it. He said you have got to have faith to begin to operate, that the blood is enough to bring healing and forgiveness. Say, well, I'll never be able to forget. You won't know if you can forget until you forgive. See, God's a supernatural working God. Amen. He can cause you to forget. Why do I know that? Because he's forgotten everything that we've ever sinned against him. So who are we to try to bring God down to us and say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget? How do you know you won't forget? Can I tell you, our God's forgotten everything that we've ever did against him. Amen. You see, forgiveness is a choice. Amen. It's not about how you feel. Can I tell you, the Father had to forgive and the Son had to forgive also. You see, a lot of us cannot forgive ourselves because we're so consumed with shame and with guilt. Can I tell you, I believe when the Father, the Bible said he saw his son a long way off. I believe one of the reasons that he had to run, because he couldn't think about it very long. If he would have stood there just one more moment, one more second, he probably would have been reminded of every night that he labored. He probably would have been reminded of the times he was bitter. Why did this boy do this? Why did he do that? Why did he not do this? Can I tell you, I believe one reason that he ran, when he saw that boy, he said, I gotta run and forgive him now. Forgiveness is a choice that you must be determined to do now. When the iron is hot, what do you got to do? Strike. Strike while the iron's hot. He ran. He saw that boy. You're going to be the boy again. He saw him. Hey, man, don't you know that boy? How'd you look whenever you went to jail? You didn't look like you do right now. How'd you? Come on. Come on now, be that boy. Don't you know that, Daddy? He didn't give him or them. I said, he didn't give him or them, because there were some bystanders looking by. I said there were people on the city because he wasn't supposed to get in that city anyway. You see, there's a ceremony called the Kazaza. You've heard me preach that. They were holding pots. And hell, they were going to throw them down. And if one of them pots hit and broke, that meant he was broken from fellowship. Yeah. He could not come back into that city. He had to stay out. But that father saw every pot. That daddy seen them pots. I bet God's so supernatural, they could have even threw the pot down and God could have stopped him right there.
Come on.
You see, God knows how to stop the plan of the enemy. I said, our Heavenly Father knows how to stop the plan of the enemy. He knows how to break pride. He knows how to deal with guilt. He knows how to heal with shame. Can I tell you, the answer has always been the blood. And today in this house, it is still the blood. It was the blood in the beginning. It was the blood on the cross. And it is the blood today at GFCC. I came to tell somebody today, the blood is still enough.
Amen.
I better hurry, Jesus. He knew if one pot hit the ground, he was broken from fellowship forever. Oh, so that daddy ran.
That's right.
I don't know where the father ran to get you. But I can tell you, in front of them, I know it just wasn't some little old lackadaisical. Boy, don't you know the passion behind that father? I just know he probably did that. He probably just spun him around. And they just started looking and said, look at this. What love. What grace. What truth, what mercy, what grace, what love, what truth. Can I tell you that they all seen forgiveness right before their eyes? Can I tell you, God's fixing to set us up in this house this morning. We're about to see forgiveness.
Amen.
The Father was determined. Listen to this. The Son had to arise. I love this. That word arose means laid down. It means to raise up even from the dead. Can I tell you, he was dead. That spirit was dead. But whenever he got up, not only was the father determined, but that boy was too. He said, I will get up and go to my father. The Bible said, then he arose and he started back. Can I tell you, forgiveness is a choice. I wonder if some of you will arise today and say, I choose to forgive. Some of you's laid and wallowed in your own bitterness and unforgiveness for years now. Can I tell you, when you forgive somebody, it is not saying what's been done to you is right or okay, but you're the one in bondage, not them.
Come on.
I've seen people that were sexually abused and the abuser not have anything, but the one that was abused can't get free for nothing in the world. Can I tell you, you have to forgive. God will help you forget. I just wrote this down. The Son had to arise. Somebody needs to know this morning. Some of you need to get up today. Some of you need to quit wallowing in your mess today. Some of you need to throw away your black tie from the pity party and get up and let's go back to the Father's house. Today's the day to forgive. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a choice. James 5:16. If we confess our sins one to another, then what happens? We shall be healed. The third thing that I want to give you is freedom. Can I tell you, the road to rejoicing starts with repentance. If you want to be free, you have to repent. You don't just get up and just go to the Father's house and get the room.
Amen.
Can I tell you, repentance happened in that pig pen. What does repentance mean, preacher? Well, you don't hear about it very much, do you? Because we just think that we can just keep walking with the robe without any change in our life. Well, I'll drink with the robe. I'll party with the robe. I'll put on my Facebook that I'm a Christian, but everything else looks totally the opposite. We're a lot of cowardly Christians today. I want to wear the robe and I want to rejoice without repentance. Well, you can't do that. You'll never. There's a road to the robe. And it starts at repentance. It starts in that pig pen. You got to turn from your ways. Your perception of who Jesus is and His house has to shift. You can't stay the same way that it's always been. Some of you's got stuff in your heart today you need to repent of because you don't see God clearly. You don't see this house clearly. You don't see this pulpit clearly because it's been tainted by pride. Some of us think that we know better. Some of us think I could do it better. Some of us think I know better than mom and dad. I think that I can do this and I can do that. Can I tell you that's pride, and it taints our view of the Father and His house. Amen. And it becomes perverted. And then God can't move or there's perversion in the house. But God said today that freedom is coming to the house. There's a road to the room. And it starts with repentance. God said, you want to know freedom? Then repent of your wicked ways and turn to God and begin to walk after Him. You see, he had to turn from the pig pen. He never went back to the pig pen, brother. He got up from that place. No matter what he looked like, no matter what he smelled like, none of that matters. His heart was changed. I'm headed to the Father's house. And when he went, the Father met him. Seth, can you come play? Where are you going to? Okay. I need Russell. No. I need Russell to pray in just a minute if you'll play. I'm sorry. We'll change in a minute. Freedom brings rejoicing. The Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. He's free indeed. Galatians 5:1. I want to read this for, I love this scripture. We talk about freedom. And I'm about to close. I believe I've gave you what God asked me to say. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And he's talking of the law and the Spirit. He's saying, you've come out of the law. Now don't go back and be yoked underneath the law. You know, you're in grace now. So live in grace. Don't fall from grace. But listen, that's any bondage. To them, to Paul, Paul's preaching, and the Judaizers, who cut in on you? Who bewitched you? It's easy to become bewitched. So easy to be distorted and have a distorted view of the Father's house. So easy. But God wants to free us today. It started with rebellion, then repentance, then the robe, then rejoicing. So I need... If you're here this morning and you don't have an earthly father, I want you to come. I want you to just stand up. I want you to come. Just stand right here. He's not really in your life. Elijah, I saw you. I want you to come. It don't matter how old you are. Thank you, Brian.